السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. مفتي صاحب أهلا وسهلا ومرحبا to you once again. مفتي صاحب, the question is that if I'm in إحرام and it's cold on the plane, am I allowed to put a blanket over?
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إحرام الرجل في وجهه وإحرام الرجل في رأسه وإحرام المرأة في وجهها. Oh, كما قال. So remember that the man must not cover his head. So if you use a blanket or a shawl above your ihram for the man, like how in Muzdalifa we use blankets, so you cover your toes, you cover your feet, all that is fine. You cover your body with a blanket, is fine. And in Muzdalifa, sometimes it gets cold, but your head, that you must leave open. And for the women, that you leave your face open when you are in front of your husband or your father, brother, or in front of the females. But in front of a janib, strange man, then it's compulsory upon you to cover your face. So you should understand, no problem on that. Just use the blanket they give you in the plane, or you got your own blanket, mashallah. You just use that as a shawl and to wrap yourself up is fine. No problem with that.
Muftisab, is there any hadith or proof from Quran and hadith to wrap one's face after making dua?
Remember that I must tell you, yesterday an incident took place. So one brother sent me a message and he says that Bin Baz and them, rahimahullah, said it's not permissible to rub one's face and so forth, you see. So I told him, it's sunnah, you know, I don't have time for long, long stories and all that. I tell you, kiss, keep it short and sweet, you know. So then he writes me a big letter, email, and he says, no, I want a hadith, a sahih, you see, from this kitab. So from the question, I realized that those people here, they don't even know what is the meaning of hadith. So I said, go see Bulughul Maram. Deliberately, I did that. I wanted to just see that does guy know anything of hadith or not. So he sends an email. He said, this book is not authentic. So I replied, I said, you jahil, ignorant fool. You don't even understand the basics of hadith. And you want to come ask me about all these things here. Bulughul Maram is written by Hafiz ibn Hajar Asqalani, by whom you must remember that Shaykh Albani rahimahullah said, "Lam yulad mithlahu ba'dahu." You will never get another Ibn Hajar. That is our ta'assub. We've been prejudiced many a time, you know. That his Fathul Bari commentary of Bukhari Sharif is one of the best commentaries of Bukhari Sharif ever. So therefore, Shawkani used to say, "Ila hijrat ba'd al-fath." You don't have to look at any other commentary. If you want to teach or study Bukhari Sharif and you know Arabic properly, then look at Fathul Bari. So remember that. So that is one side of the coin. Now go to Bulughul Maram. If I was a principal in any Darulum Madrasa, I definitely would introduce this book. In Darulum Newcastle, I taught there 10 years or more, you see, because it's an excellent book, especially for the Shafi'is. So Ibn Hajar was 100% Shafi'i. So go open the chapter of Kitab al-Dua in Bulughul Maram by Ibn Hajar Asqalani, rahimahullah. He quotes the hadith in Tirmidhi Abu Dawood, Hatta yamsaha bima wajhahu. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would take his yadeen, his Mubarak hands, and rub it on his face, countenance Mubarak. Then he, Ibn Hajar rahimahullah, writes a note. I'm giving you the reference, Kitab al-Dua, in the ending. And it is in Bulughul Maram by Hafiz ibn Hajar Asqalani. When the commentators of hadith write waqal al-Hafiz, and they don't mention the name, it refers to Ibn Hajar Asqalani. Such a genius and giant, and this guy says he wants hadith. Getting on like he knows. He doesn't even know the rudiments of hadith. So you must remember that. So he writes there, that walahu shawahid, and for this hadith there are many backups and follow-ups, and if you put all the hadith on this topic there, Abu Dawood, Tirmidhi and various others together, then hadithun hasanun is a very, very good hadith. So must you take Bulughul Maram hadith of Nabi alayhi salam? Must you take Ibn Hajar, or must you take Bin Baz, who was blind? Hazrat Mufti Mahmood Sahib of Pakistan, so you know him, O Salim. He's our final teacher. He completed our Bukhari Sharif in 1980, 1400, and we were the last students to complete Bukhari Sharif by him. So there at Jamia Farooqiyah, Alhamdulillah. Then Hazrat was coming for Hajj and he passed away. So there in Karachi at Newtown Madrasa. Nevertheless, so Hazrat Mufti Mahmood Sahib of Pakistan, Rahimahullah, one day he met Sheikh bin Baz, Rahimahullah. So Sheikh bin Baz told him, you Hanafis, you like to hibbun al-ta'wil. You like too much ta'wil, you know, make this interpretation. So Sheikh Mufti Mahmood Sahib was a genius, one of the great, great scholars of Pakistan. He told him, Sheikh bin Baz, you will have to make ta'wil. If you don't make ta'wil for you, you will be in big trouble. So bin Baz first didn't know what's going on. So he told him, translate this verse then and see if you can do it without ta'wil. وَمَنْ كَانَ فِي هَذِي أَعْمَى فَهُوَ فِي الْآخِرَةِ أَعْمَى وَأَضَلُّ سَبِيلًا. You say we must take the literal meaning everywhere. So if you're going to take the literal meaning here, then you will be in big trouble. وَمَنْ كَانَ فِي هَذِي أَعْمَى, whosoever is blind here in this world, فَهُوَ فِي الْآخِرَةِ أَعْمَى, in the year after also he will be blind, and he will be right away from the right path. So obviously that this is not the literal meaning. You have to make ta'wil here. فَإِنَّهَا لَا تَعْمَ الْأَبْصَارِ وَلَكِنْ تَعْمَ الْقُلُوبُ الَّتِي فِي الصُّدُورِ. That Allah is not speaking of the blindness of the eyes, he's speaking about the blindness of the heart. So if you want this verse that Hazrat Mufti Mahmood Sahib quoted for him, Sheikh bin Baz with a shock then, you see. So chapter 17, verse 72. Now imagine what jahalat is this. You want to leave a hadith of Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and tell me, no, bin Baz is right. So that is ta'assub, that is jahalat, is ignorance this of the Salafis. So you must remember that bin Baz used to say that three talaq is one talaq. I got his fatwa, you must remember that. So we reject it, you must remember. Ka'inan man ka'an. So whoever it is, so we must always look and search for the truth. The truth is what? Quran Sharif, Sunnah Mubarakah, the fatwa, verdict of Sahaba. And if you speak of fatwa and verdicts, then we go to the four schools. Besides the four schools, we're not interested in anybody else. So that is what we must understand. So on these issues here, the four schools say that you rub your face, you must remember with your hands. After dua, never mind permissible, is sunnah. And the hadith is Hassan ibn Hajar Asqalani said. Second one is this, that the same Salafis and bin Baz and all of them, they'll tell you, you can't read Quran Sharif for the deceased. So we reject it, remember that. Whether it's bin Baz, whether it's Albani, whether it is Ibn Husaymin, whether it's Yusuf Qardawi, I met them all. So you must remember that. So we will follow them when their verdicts do not contradict the four schools. Once it contradicts the four schools, then ka in and man kan, we say we reject your fatwa. Finish. End of the story.
Mufti Sahib, after first salah, when the imam makes a collective dua, is there any hadith to support this action?
This question also they asked. You understand? So I told them, I just want to test them if they know hadith. I said, go and read Tuhfatul Ahwazi. They never even heard these books' names. That is the problem today. We deal with the jahil ummah. 80%, 90% of this ummah can't even read Quran Sharif, properly looking inside, but they want to debate on issues and so forth and so on. So how can that be? So remember, I taught Tirmidhi Sharif at Darul Newcastle for 12 years, Alhamdulillah. And one of the best commentaries of Tirmidhi Sharif is Tuhfatul Ahwazi. Even Mufti Taqi Sahib praised it. He said that the Tuhfatul Ahwazi, Sheikh Abdul Rahman Mubarak Puri, in Arabic they say Mubarak Puri, is a great sharah, but he was very critical of the Hanafi school. So that we don't agree with him to criticize everywhere, you know. But anyway, so the sharah is in Arabic and is a Salafi, and he brought five ahadith after Babu Zikri Ba'da Salat. to make dua after first salat individually. Even the imams of the haram, they do it. Haramain Sharifain, everyone, you see, that after the salam, they turn around and they will read Allahumma anta salam. That is 100% sunnah. After every salat, you must turn around and face the congregation. Hazrat Mufti Rashid Ahmad Sahib wrote a wonderful fatwa on that in his Ahsanul Fatawa, Istiqbalul Imam Ilajiyatil Anam, that the Imam, after every first salat, you should turn around and your face should be facing the congregation and your back should be facing the Qibla. So Mustafa Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's normal practice. Jabir bin Samura radiallahu anhu states, Inna Nabiya Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam Iza Salla Salatan Aqbala Alayna Biwajihi Rawahu Tirmidhi. That in Tirmidhi is mentioned, Nabi Alayhi Salam would turn around and face the congregation, the Sahaba. So they read it. So individually, there's no problem. Collectively, also there's no problem. Remember that, say he, Sahibu Tuhfatul Ahwazi, commentary, I have it, Tirmidhi Sharif commentary, and remember that is a wonderful, wonderful, yes, you'd be disagree with him on certain portions, but on the whole, excellent it is. So then you read it, and he mentioned five ahadith regarding dua collectively. So what you going to say now? I'm not quoting Hanafi scholars, I'm quoting your scholars. I told you what Sheikh Albani said. I told you what he, Allama, to call him Allama. So Abdul Rahman Mubarak Furi said, and so forth. What you going to say then? So you must remember. But you see, jahil people, you can't explain to them. Al-Imam al-Shafi'i, Rahimahullah, used to say, when I debated with the ulama, I always beat them. When I debated with the jahil and ignorant people, they beat me. Not they beat me, they talk such nonsense that you can't debate with them because they don't know what even the rudiments of Islam is. So therefore, Quran says, وَإِذَا خَاتَبَهُمُ الْجَاهِلُونَ قَالُوا سَلَامًا. When these people, they want to argue with you, just make salam and say, go fly a kite. That is what Quran is telling you, you see. Don't waste our time and so forth and so on. Yes, one point is right. Remember the imams, you must educate the people. Not after every first salat that you create the perception and creation or impression that it's a must and compulsory you must make salat. Sometimes leave it out so the people must know it is sunnah. Sometimes you do it, sometimes you don't do it. That is right. But to say that is bid'ah and not permissible, we reject it totally.
Mufti Sahib, please advise who one can give their fitrah to. If a person has a Muslimah helper, can one give it to her or buy groceries and give the helper? Can a widow be given fitrah and so on? Jazakallah.
And Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, Abdullah Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, is the rawi, the reporter of this hadith. The hadith is mentioned in Abu Dawood, Mishkat, Bulughul Maram, Musnad Ahmad, various compilations. Remember, in his hadith is sahih. Farada Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam zakat al fitri. In the hadith, you find the word sadaqat al fitr, you find the words and zakat al fitr. Both are synonymous, it means the same thing. So it's compulsory. Remember that Shafi's, Maliki's, Hanbali say first, Hanafi say wajib, oh, it means compulsory. So zakat al-fitr, sadaqat al-fitr, why? So now this year, 35 riyal minimum, if you pay more, yea, in our masjid, yea, Jami Masjid, is written, Miasfam, the ulama of Waterfall Islamic Institution, Pure Box 1, you know, Johannesburg. So they say, Miasfam, 82 ren. So if you reach like Miasfam, you pay 82 ren, mashallah. Multi-millionaire, multi-billionaire, you know. So it's very good. I'll pay that amount, you understand? I'll pay what Miasfam says. We must spend more in the path of Almighty Allah, Jalla Wala. So you won't die or something, but minimum 35 ren. So tuhuratal lisa'imi min al-lagwi wa rafath. So it's a means of purification for all the wrong we saw, all the wrong things we did. So the first benefit is to you, O Sa'im, O fasting person. And second one, وَتُؤْمَةً لِلْمَسَاكِينَ. It will enrich and empower the poor Muslims so they can enjoy their Eid al-Fitr. From now already start giving it out, whether you give it out in cash or you give it out in kind. But remember, you want to give your helper, your domestic, she's a Muslimah. So you can't give her unless you are paying her peanuts. You see that? you pay 100 rand a week, 200 rand a week, how is it going to come out? So you must remember that zulam, overworking them and underpaying them, is haram there. So if you are paying her a decent salary and she's got 4 or 5 children or whatever, husband already passed away or whatever, so now you see she can't manage, and then you give her sadaqatul fitr, zakatul fitr, very good, you must remember. Or you give her food parcels, here's the oil, here's the flour, here's the rice and everything, take it for you, no strings attached, you make her the malik, malika, the owner, unfettered, unconditional, totally permissible, there's no problem. But remember, zakat and sadaqatul fitr, zakatul fitr, fidya, must be given to poor, poor Muslims only. Cannot be given to non-Muslims. Voluntary charity, that you give to non-Muslims, no problem.
Mufti Sahab, on the same token, if somebody passes away after Fajr Namaz on Eid day, will Sadaqatul Fitr on his behalf be wajib?
So you must remember, if the person passed away after Fajr Salat, so then it's compulsory upon him. Why is compulsory? Shafi's, Maliki's, somebody says that Laylatul Eid, the night of Eid, Maghrib time, he or she was alive. So therefore, Fitra is compulsory. Hanafis, you must remember, at Subah Sadiq, when Fajr time entered, the person was alive, so therefore. And it's 35 rand, man. Come off it, man. If you can't pay, ask me, I'll give it to you. So you must remember that. So just pay it and get done. You must remember that. Give it to a poor person. And why are you waiting so late? You must remember that. فَمَنْ أَدَّاهَا قَبْلَ الصَّلَاةِ. So before Eid day, you should be paying it already. Then you will get the optimum, maximum reward. فَيَّا زَكَاتٌ مَقْبُولًا. You pay it after Eid Salat and all that. You must remember. فَيَّا صَدَقَةٌ مِنْ الصَّدَقَات. It will be valid, but you'll get the minimum reward. Because the aim, purpose of it is twofold. To purify ourselves from the wrong we were doing whilst we were fasting, and to empower our needy brothers, sisters, and so forth, so they can also enjoy the day of Eid al-Fitr. La'allakum tashkurun, Almighty Allah states, chapter 2, verse 185, Inna likulli qawmin Eid, hawa hadha Eiduna, is our Eid, thus you must remember. In Bayhaqi, the hadith comes, Taqabbal Allahu minna wa minkum, when is Eid? Date and greet one another and say, may Almighty Allah accept from us, may Almighty Allah accept from you. Inshallah, inshallah, Eid in South Africa will be on Monday, 31st of March, and they in Saudi, I think they will go for Sunday. You know, they just got some moon samis, and they will tell you in Tumeir that even if the moon is born, you understand, 5 hours, 6 hours, they'll say we sighted it. So that's how Saudi operates, MBS. So that's all shaitani business. So that's, I think, what will happen. And Yeba us, remember, inshallah, the moon samis will see the moon, then Monday will be Eid al-Fitr, inshallah.
Mufti Sahab, is it jayaz for women to attend the Eidgah?
So haram, totally haram. So I ask you the following questions. You must remember that this woman and the man, Salafis, and some other pseudo scholars, they got the hadith. They even know the reporter, Umme Atiyah. They say Bukhari Sharif's hadith. So let me tell you what is Bukhari Sharif's hadith. So you must remember this, that Quran Sharif states, Surah 33, verse 33, that وَقَرْنَ فِي بُيُوتِكُنَّ. You must stay glued to your home. For women to run around outside is haram, unless there's some real need. That is Quran and Sunnah. Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that you must remember hadith in Tirmidhi, is hadith a sahih, authentic hadith. إِذَا خَرَجَتِ الْمَرْأَى. When a lady goes out of a house, وَيَّا مُتَعَتِّرَى, and she has perfume, lipstick, dipstick, and makeup and that. Which Muslim lady today is not going to wear new clothes on Eid day? Which Muslim lady is not going to put makeup and that? 99% will do that. فَمَرَّتْ بِمَجْلِسِ كَذَا. They'll come with their cars. They will come like that, all dolled up. You know what Nabi alayhi salam said? فَيَا زَانِيَا. She is a zaniya. She's an adulteress. She is a loose lady. Who said this? Go ask any Molvi, any Sheikh, what is the translation? So it's haram, you must remember, because you can't fulfill the conditions. Third one, go open Bukhari Sharif. There are so many ahadith regarding the women and so forth and so on, that he, Sheikh Albani Rahimahullah, in Targhib wa Tarheeb, he mentions, you know, stood Umme Humaid Asaidiya. She's Sahabiya. She came to Nabi alayhi salam and said, I want to read Salat behind you in Masjid Nabawi. Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told her, your house has got three parts. If you read Salat in your front room, you will get more reward than reading Salat with me behind me in Masjid Nabawi. You read in the middle room, your reward will be extra, extra. You read right at the back, you will receive optimum reward, maximum. Go open Targhib wa Tarheeb. Sheikh Albani said, Hadithun Sahihun. I have the copy. And Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, you want to know about Eid Salat? Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, when the ladies used to come for Jummah Salat, he used to stand there outside. Go back home. Go back home. You got no place here. Go back. Akhiruhunna. من حيث أخرهن الله بخاري شريف حديث ما تركت فتنة بعدي أضر على الرجال من النساء. The biggest fitna for the men are the women. And now today you want to come tell me in this belated day and age that you must remember that the women can come. So not one condition is fulfilled. What? They don't read five daily salat, but they want to come for each salat. Aimma arba'a, Shafi'is, Maliki's, Hanafi's, Hanbalis. No one said each salat is compulsory for the ladies. For 100 years now, even more than 100 years, the ulama have passed fatwa that it's haram for ladies to go to Eidgah li'adami tawafuri shurut, because the conditions are not fulfilled. So don't fool yourself that you think, no, I'm practicing on Bukhari Sharif. You're practicing on Bukhari Sharif hadith, but you're going against Quran and going against 100 other hadith. So where is the common sense in that? So think properly.
Kitab, this is an interesting question. A student of Deen Nabila Isa wants to become a Hafiza. She's requesting to ask, the question here is, the Quran was revealed over a period of time. How and who was the first ever person, the name of the person who wrote the Quran in the perfect order during the Prophet's time?
Nabila Isa. So let's go with you. What is Nabila? We give you a little bit, you know, history, geography, biology. Nabila means noble. Isa. Isa is the name of the messenger. Nabi Isa alayhi salatu salam. His name, Nami Ismegrami, honorable name, is mentioned 25 times in the Quran. You Christians and non-Muslims listening, you should know Jesus. His honorable name in the noble Quran is 25 times. Mary, the Virgin, her honorable name, Maryam, is mentioned 34 times in the Quran. Maryam means Abida, the worshipper of Almighty Allah. Allah Jalla Wala dedicated an entire chapter to Maryam, the Mary. And remember, that is chapter 19, comprising 98 verses. So go study the Quran and see the honor Allah has given Mary, the Virgin Maryam al-Azra, Maryam al-Batul, the one who moved away from a toxic society to a pure place, and Jesus, and juxtapose it, draw a comparison with your Bible, and see who is honoring them more. Your Bible, which is not authentic, you got so many different versions of the Bible that even the virgins are confused, and you are blowing their fuses. You go ask the Pope, go ask the priest, show us one person who has by heart the entire Bible, Injil, Gospel, then the original language revealed to Jesus, peace be upon him. Not one in the whole world. I challenge them how many times. There's no hope for the Pope. And the Jutlas, Haramis, their rabbis, bigger Haramis. Yesterday, Rabbi Friedman, hey, you Jutlas, Haramis, you recording me? I feel honored, man. So Rabbi Friedman wrote, he said, if you want it, I'll send it to you. So Rabbi Friedman said that this whole story of the Holocaust is one big fat lie. The Hollywood and politicians and the Zionists, they just hijacked it and to make money out of it from the horse's mouth, Rabbi Friedman. So that is what I told you always. So Nabila Isa, So in time of Nabi alayhi salatu salam, the Quran Sharif was revealed. There were two groups of people. One were the Jama'atul Hufaz, those who used to by heart it, memorize it, as it was revealed. And then there were Jama'atul Kuttab, those who were the scribes who used to write it. The main scribe was Zayd bin Thabit radiallahu anh. Nabila Isa, you don't know Arabic, right? So write this book's down name. And it is called Ulumul Quran by Ahmed von Denver. It's got a green cover, so you must read it. If you were nearby me, so I should have just given it to you. I have a copy here. But anyway, now I won't give it to you. You're very rich there in Durban. I'm Jope Mehman, I'm a Galageto. I think you Mehman Nabila Isa. So you must be coming from a rich family. So you just buy a copy, Ahmed von Denver, Ulumul Quran in English, very good for you. And all the details are there. Zayd bin Thabit radiallahu anh was the main scribe and the katib of Wahi in time of Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Last question, Manana.
Mufti Sahib, my aunt's iddat finishes on Saturday, inshallah. What is permissible and what should she keep away from?
One is Sharia and one is our riwaj, our rasam, our own tradition and custom. So sister, mother, your husband passed away. Your 130 days are ending now this Saturday. So what must you do? So continue making dua. Surah 14, Surah Ibrahim, verse 41. رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لِي وَلِوَالِدَيَّ وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَوْمَ يَقُومُ الْحِسَابُ. Oh, beloved Allah, Jalla wa'ala, forgive me. Forgive my beloved parents and the believers the day the reckoning is established. And then second one, now in the confines of your home, mother, sister, you can wear new clothes, you can apply henna, mendi, you can wear the jewelry. So all that you can do now, there and now custom tradition, this is our Indian thing, brought from the Lal Kitab, you see. Our Indians, when they came from Saharanpur, Palanpur, Davelpur, Kolwatpur, then they brought one Kitab, the Kitab's name Lal Kitab, the red book. When we went to school in the 60s, they taught us one story, Little Red Riding Hood, you see. So this book is like that, Little Red Riding Hood stories. So there they wrote, when the iddat finished, then the lady must go out of her house. Take her out. There's no such thing. She must go out. So Sahabiyat, where are you going to go? So you must remember, but our Indian ladies, they say, no, now you must come to my house. Come to the. If she wants to go, she can go. But there's no sunnah about it. There is no compulsory about it. The way our people are doing it, that's the objection we are making. If she wants to go, if it's far, she go with the mahram. If it's nearby, she can just walk or go there with the car. And that's permissible. But there's no must about it. And there's no sunnah about it. So that is our riwaj, our custom tradition. Wallahu a'lam. Barakallahu fiqh. Salaamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.